Do you want to take part in a Bible study that can help you understand the Bible better? Tune in to Glorious Morning every Thursday and Friday at 7:20 a.m. and on Maranatha Drive every Monday and Tuesday at 4 p.m. for an interactive Bible study. Through these studies, you can find answers for facing the issues and challenges you deal with every day. You can also find these studies on www.voiceofprophecy.com.
So that's how we are inviting you this afternoon to join us as we study together. You've got the platforms that connect with us here in studio, or find us on that website as was given there, as we are trying to understand who wrote the Bible. Now, we often encourage Christians at any stage, right? And if you're an aspiring Christian, that's the encouragement we also give you to say, hey, read the Bible diligently, even daily, and seek the guidance from the Holy Spirit to help you understand and to apply the principles that you're finding there at all times. But why do we trust so fully in its authority? Who actually wrote this Bible? So that's our conversation this afternoon as we discuss, and guiding us in this conversation is Elder Ngwadla, who joins us now on the line. Ndala, good afternoon to you and welcome to the MD.
Good afternoon, brother. How are you?
No, I'm doing okay. Thank you so much. And trusting we find you well?
Yes. You know, I'm fine. Much better than yesterday.
Ah, we praise God for that. Ndala, thank you for making time to talk to us and the listeners here. And we are trying to answer this profound question. In fact, let's get straight to the jugular of the matter. Who wrote the Bible?
Wow. The Bible was written by authors, or rather the Bible was written by men of God that were chosen by God himself over a period of 1,500 or so years. The Bible author is God himself, using the pens of men.
So he is the author using the pen of men. All right. And
to see that there are different writing styles and all that.
Yeah.
And start to see that the language, for instance, differed there to there, and how they used the text, but the meaning was never lost. God inspired them to write the Bible. Because the human element
is
word order and all that, but not changing the meaning, not changing the intention of God.
So maybe help us understand it for this. When you say God used these men as his pen, are you saying they were in trances as they were writing there verbatim? This is actually the mind of God, or are you saying maybe it's there? Because I mean, I hear you emphasizing this idea of their thoughts and their words being theirs, but yet you're saying it's the word of God. What does it actually mean?
Well, this is, you know, whenever I am confronted by this, my brother, I always go to our sermons on Sabbath.
Okay.
And then I always go to the studies that we give. But a study would be less of an example, because everything is prescribed for you, you know. When you have a sermon and somebody says, it's AWM Day, you know, it's Women's Day, or there is this theme. They leave it at that. The rest rests upon what God gives you prayerfully. That's where now the preacher is to connect with God on his knees, on his or her knees. And then God starts to inspire you on the topic or on the verses and all that. But you find that the theme, or rather the meaning under the theme of what you have to drive across, you might have something. I've found a scenario where my sermon changes in the pulpit just after I have stood up, and after the special item, and then everything changes. And what comes out of my mouth the language that I was taught from, you know, primary school or kindergarten until, you know, tertiary. But the meaning of what I'm saying, the significance and how it enters the people, it's all godly inspired. I wouldn't say godly controlled, because you pray to God that God give me this. And you are allowing then God to use all your faculties, your heart, your mind, your entire being, you know, is in his hands at the time. So they were not in a trance.
Mm-hmm.
Their brains were functioning, putting the words together, but the entire meaning was God controlled, working in the sensory neurons in the brain. That's quite easy to understand, but if you and I were to take it, you know, using I don't want to use a word here loosely,
okay,
a secular understanding of how the brain functions, we would sort of miss inspiration. This is one of the beautiful mysteries of God. For instance, the first five books, Moses, a general, a poet, you know, representing those. And then you look at the Apostle Paul, you know, later in the Bible, a scholar, you know. Some say when they evaluate his education, he had about 2 or 3 PhDs. And then you look at the Apostle Peter, a fisherman. Look at fishermen today, my brother.
Yeah.
Fishermen, you would say even a primary education would be, it was not there. So the inspiration, the golden thread that binds all these men is the Holy Spirit, God, the Holy Spirit.
Amen, amen. You remind me, I think it's 1 Peter chapter 1, which would say, hey, these men were not moved by their own intellect. It was by the Spirit of God. They didn't write according to inclination or to preference. Maybe let's buttress the point you just made, my elder, with a question of assurance for our listener today. How reliable are these writings that we call the Bible?
Wow. You look at the book of Genesis.
Mm-hmm.
Whenever I get to Genesis 3, verse 15, I get a new, not new meaning, rather the meaning that I have in terms of sacrifices, in terms of John 14, verse 5, verse 6, I'm the way, the truth, and the life, you know, everyone comes through me. The root meaning is found in Genesis 3, verse 15, you know, and you move down to Genesis 3, verse 21. Everything that is happening there, if I can read 3, verse 15 quickly, and I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. And verse 21, also for Adam and his wife, the Lord God made tunics of skin and clothed them. My brother, I don't know what culture you come from or what tribe or clan, but I can assure you there are those in your clan and your tribe who are slaughtering when there is a gathering.
True.
When there is something traditional that must be done.
True, true.
And the same goes for me. The same goes for people all over the globe for various reasons. All those need to understand that the sacrifice was none other than Jesus Christ. Those who lived before Jesus Christ were looking to his merits. Those who live after, like us, we are claiming the merits that way on the cross. Look at the book of Daniel. The four kingdoms. There was Babylon historically. There was Medo Persia historically. You go to the history books, all those Dariuses. The first Darius the Mede, up to Darius the Fifth, who is the last one that was defeated by Alexander the Great, 331 BC in the Battle of Arbela.
Okay,
it happened, and there was. Look at Daniel 7 and Daniel 8. The horn that is there in the Ram code, you know, where showing Alexander the Great, and then you have the leopard. That shows the curse got four wings, showing the four kingdoms. Ptolemy and the others after Alexander the Great died. So all these were prophesied and they happened to the letter. Right now we are in Rome. Rome that is divided into four. There was Rome that I would say now lost power in 476, pagan Rome. And then afterwards the 10 kingdoms that are now roughly, I can say they are, what is this, Europe, you know, the barbarian kingdom, 476 AD to 538. Then after that you have the papacy, 538 until 1798. Right now we're living at a time of Revelation 17 where we are seeing the wound is getting healed in Revelation 13. Everything that the Bible has said, everything, all those that were prophesied and are supposed to have happened, that gives me now an assurance. It gives more meaning to Hebrews 11, verse 1, that which has not happened yet and is predicted or prophesied for the future is going to happen. In 1988, I had a discussion with some of the brethren, and we said the second beast of Revelation 13 that comes from the earth is America, and America will pay homage to the first beast, which is the papacy. I can remember the noise that was there. We were teenagers. We were armed with a book, the Seal of God and the Mark of the Beast.
Okay.
Then it was, you know, Ronald Reagan, the president, and there was still Pope John Paul II. It was a lot of things. The divide between Protestant America and the papacy was quite big. Today, we have the first American Pope. Pope Leo XIV. And interestingly, before the conclave, or rather during the conclave, after the death of Pope Francis I, the President of America posted on his Instagram, a picture of himself dressed in papal regalia. So now, in 2015, the previous Pope Benedict, before Francis, was the first one to address a joint sitting of Congress. In the Senate. So now it's becoming a reality that the second beast of Revelation 13 actually started to pay homage to the first beast. We started that era. You know, so I'm trying I'm sorry for being so excited to the point of taking so long, but everything that the Bible has said is happening, my brother. Okay, fine. Putting aside the fact that, oh God, may He help us to be ready, because it's one thing for me to understand this. It's one thing for me to allow God's Spirit to work in me so rapidly so that I can be ready.
And that's what the gist of the matter is, right? To say, after all this knowledge, what's it going to bear in you as a person? Let's just wrap up perhaps in the last minute that we have in each other's company here. Addressing if the entire Bible is the message from God. And thank you for really raising our confidence levels in that this thing is reliable, this book is authoritative. But is the entirety of it considered a message from God? I mean, some of the things that are contained in there is like hype of it. Yeah, I don't know what we have to do with this story here.
Yes. For instance, I can't read songs. Yes. Everything there is God inspired. But I can't read songs of Solomon with my kids just like that, you know. But
so it's about context.
It is God inspired. I will have to take them. I do take them one on one when they are starting adolescence and then the late teens, early 20s. Pray a lot, you know, so that there's eye contact, because as an African, some of the things you might not feel easy, you know, discussing them. Deuteronomy 23, verse 1. Everything that is there, my brother, is God inspired. And there were no personal biases or anything, you know. Everything was God inspired. Jonah did not want to go to Nineveh. It's written there. He said, "You're going to save these people. That's why I'm running to Tarshish. We're going to save these people. I know you, but a gracious God."
Mm-hmm.
So, mm-hmm. Everything that is there, my brother,
is a message from God.
Yes.
And we must consider it something that is useful for us to utilize.
All scripture is written for doctrine, reproof,
fascinating,
correction, and instruction that the men of God, by men now I mean, you know, mankind,
mm-hmm.
Inclusive of our sisters as well, that the men of God may be complete in righteousness.
Because I'm trying to think, man. I mean, when you look at books such as Numbers, chapters upon chapters, where it's just genealogies and lists of people, surely, what are we supposed to do with that information as we go out in 2025 today, Mdala?
You know what is beautiful about it?
Uh-huh.
If you take that genealogy and you take the one in Matthew, oh my Lord, you are able to trace Jesus Christ
mm-hmm.
from Adam until the time when that was written. And then in the Christian, you are able to say Jesus Christ lived.
Okay.
Spiritually, you are able to say Jesus Christ lived in the times of Herod, this Herod, and this happened. And these were his parents. Down, you are able to understand when it is said, is the root of David.
Yeah.
You know, and you're able to understand why he's the father to David, and yet he's the root as well. Because he's the son of David through Jesse, Obed, Boaz. You understand? So my brother, that genealogy, someone was telling me, what I'm a closer, they say we must write Abase Mtanzane or Abase. I'm not going to do anything about Abase Mtanzane, but Abase Philippi are leading me to the kingdom of God. Because it is not about my tribe and my nationality and everything. It is about our salvation from this world. And the Bible is the manual to salvation.
Okay.
Not about President Netanyahu or Prime Minister Netanyahu or what is happening. I'm not saying they're right or wrong. I'm not going to the political side of what is happening in Gaza. What is important is that we are spiritual Israel today. The Bible is not emphasizing on literal Israel. No.
It's about spiritual Israel.
Yeah. So, exactly. All the Christians who have accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Yes.
All righty. No, thank you so much for that. We'll have to leave it there. But I think quite a profound answer is because everything, if you look for Christ, you ought to find him there. We appreciate you, Mdala. Thank you so much for guiding us in this discussion and helping us make sense about who wrote the Bible and raising our confidence levels indeed that we can trust it's from God. Appreciate you. Until we chat again next time, keep well and God bless.
Thank you so much, my brother. God bless you too.
Thanks. Amen.
You are tuned to Maranatha Drive on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.